Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over.
Here's a chance. That goal. Shot rebound. Score. Oh, it's lit.
So, well,
welcome to the morning after show, so to speak.
What is there really to talk about? We could get into the NFL draft.
I did this to Maddie. He didn't like it either.
We could get into a little
CFL European draft.
Or CBA. Exactly. Yeah. All right. So clearly we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah. What's happening, man? It's been like a week or two since you were in. I barred the door while the Leafs were in the playoffs, but luckily that doesn't last long.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm loving slash hating the playoffs, man. To be honest with you, my bracket is in tatters.
It's true, man. All of us, all the so-called TCA experts, we're down to, as we sit here and record this, this will go up on Wednesday night. There is a Game 7 left. Both Maddie and Amy badly need Washington to win this just to get off the schneid.
They're 0 for 7?
0 for 7 so far.
Geniuses.
You are currently sitting with a 2 for 8. I think I'm at 3 for 8. Both of us have Washington as well, so we could move up a little bit. And the phenom, the whiz kid, the 4-year-old Lucas, I think is sitting at 4 with a chance to go to 5 tonight.
So. Right. And if we recall, Lucas, the 4-year-old, took Columbus in 5 games.
Yep. He shortchanged Columbus.
Yeah, honest to God.
The only one in the pool who took Columbus at the time. Just, come on, kid.
Right. It's kind of like the monkey who throws feces at a map, right? And you go, look at that.
I said that to Amy. He's like the monkey that used to show up with James Duthie on.
For sure. Spins the wheel or does whatever
that's
it is.
That's right. Maggie.
And you go, oh, it's going to be Anaheim in 7.
Yeah. Predictions have not gone well, but we'll do it again at Tall Can Audio on Instagram. It'll also show up at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. When those get settled, Game 7, like I said, for Washington, Carolina goes Wednesday night. And Round 2, as we said, would be a problem earlier, right? Goes Thursday, so they're not taking any kind of a break. We're going to get into, if you missed it, or if you're looking for me to flip out a little bit, TCS 318 is already up at TalkCanAudio.com or wherever you get your podcast. Maddie and I, well overserved after the game, took Babcock to task a little bit, a couple other things. Rob and I will get into that a little later on to, fuck me, just exhausted and hungover. Rob and I will get into that a little later on in this show, but, we're going to start with a couple of other series. But before we do, did you hear anything today about a flub during that Game 7 broadcast, specifically with Mike Milbury?
No, during the Toronto-Boston
game 7, during the broadcast, yeah.
No, I didn't hear anything about that.
Well, I'm going to play it for you here now. This is from the NBC broadcast. It's Doc Emmerich calling the play. After a couple of seconds, you'll hear Mike Milbury chime in with something a little less than professional, but I'm going to let you judge it for yourself.
Milbury? No.
Yeah.
Icing is called. Not a popular call.
Fuck me.
But it gives the Bruins a chance to...
So, if you didn't catch it, there's clearly in the back, fuck me.
What, in his best pirate voice, too? Like, what is that?
And so, a lot of people, Leaf fans, are, because it was an icing against Boston, it was a controversial one, like it was a hard race for it, you can hear the crowd booing, whatever. And a lot of Toronto fans, well, much of a fucking homer, obviously Milbury being a Bruins guy, but what, if we're going to play it again, what you can clearly hear is it sounds like he's fucking with his microphone, right? He's tangled up in something, or whatever.
Well, and it's the pause Emmerich gives too. Like what?
And so right after that, Emmerich tries to continue talking after this little pause. And if you can kind of hear in his voice just this little shiver, like he's trying not to laugh maybe. Or because you're talking about one of, you know, he's their Bob Cole, right, in the U.S. He does all their big stuff. He's the consummate pro. So you don't know if he's upset or if he's laughing or whatever. But just a little bit of the timbre in his voice, especially in the word "the," we'll let you listen to it here again. You can tell maybe he's starting to break a little bit. But listen for it, because to me it sounds like he's fucking with his microphone and probably thinks someone has shut it off or whatever, but it's...
Icing is called. Not a popular call.
Fuck me.
But it gives the...
It's the sound of his voice.
Fuck me.
Like, what's going on over there, man?
So, yeah, that made it live to air. I don't know. There's been no talk or whatever. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if that was the end of his days on national television. But wow. It's just too funny.
Well, and it's one of those things where, and just going from one of those sort of little Fox passes
yeah.
into... Again, with Don Cherry and his, he's going to complain about how much time he has, but then we got to watch guys in suits for a minute. And now I thought, now clearly they're putting the reins on him pretty hard about he wants to get in on the Raptors guys and what they walk in with, right?
Yeah.
They should just let that run for an extra 30 seconds.
And, see where it goes.
Yeah, and then that'll be the end of Don, all right? You'll never see or hear from Don again. Canadian icon taken down by his own buffoonery. Can't be the first one ever to have that happen.
No doubt.
Maybe, yeah, okay. Icon maybe a bit much, but.
Well, we have a low standard for Canadian icon. He might be in that class, don't you?
For sure he is.
He and the Hitman, Bret Hart.
Yeah, there you go. Brian Adams.
Sure. What else says, you know, it's been a crazy first round. We kind of said, not just because of our own predictions, but upsets all over the place. Which one, I guess Tampa would be the obvious one, but what's jumped out the most at you?
I think how quietly Nashville went out.
Yeah.
That kind of was like a...
Fuck, that was a dull. Like, yeah. I just couldn't get interested in that at all.
That was like one of those alligator poops.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that just sort of slide right in, don't even make much of a noise, right? You just sort of go, that was that series.
Okay. Yeah, right? It's a good analogy.
Yeah, okay. That's what it is. I think under the radar, a series that I wasn't really hyped about was, or is, and we'll see by the time this airs, it'll be done.
Yeah.
But just how up-tempo and angry the Carolina-Washington series has been.
Rookies getting punched out.
People getting punched out. People getting their heads driven into the boards. Right? Just people shouting and yelling all the time. You know, mystery calls, bad calls.
Yeah.
The game will already be done by the time you people hear this, but the fact that Ovi got thrown out of that game.
Yeah, game six.
He's an angry dude. He's going to come back tonight, and I will be very surprised if he single-handedly doesn't
fire
that team on his back and crush Carolina.
I think you're totally right.
And the thing is, that call, and we're talking about...
So that's not happening based on our prediction.
Yeah, for sure. I have no idea what's going to happen.
No.
But that overturn goal where Mrazek had it under the pad, and he's sort of pivoting around, doing a 360 on his pads, holding on to the pipe above him.
Yeah.
And Ovi pokes it in, right? To me, it's a bang-bang call. And people are saying, you know, oh, well, you know, he just... I don't think people fully understand that he's a 235-pound angry man who's coming into that crease.
That's right.
And he's not like, oh, excuse me, can I have that puck? No, man, he's like a starving man looking for the last little morsel of cheese. He's a load to handle.
No, I agree with that. And I think similarly, and the stories have been changed around a little bit, but obviously the fight between he and Svechnikov, where one of them saying that Svechnikov started it or challenged him, the other saying that Ovi started it. To me, the thing that I'm tired of hearing about is that he's just 19. If you are in the league, if your team has decided you're big enough, you're strong enough, you're ready to play, I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Right.
Like, and we've talked about this with Mitch Marner. We've talked about this with other guys across the league, right? If you're in there, Sorry, it was the kid out in Vancouver, Elias Pettersson. Who, you know, was getting thrown around
and
by...
And got slammed to the ice.
Yeah. Yep. You're like, well, he's just a kid. Well, he's a star player. Yeah. And I don't care how old he is when he's coming at me, right? So now you can argue about the fight itself and whether it was necessary or whatever. But if the kids challenge it, Ovi, I don't have to skate away from that. Fuck you, then. Here we go, buddy.
Yeah. Like, you wants, you gets. And no, for sure. And that's what they say. Everyone talks about how fast the game is and the emotions are what they are. Yeah, I'm not going to ask for your birth certificate before we start swinging. You want to go?
Yeah.
We're going to do it. Oh, sorry about that. Caved in your head.
One of them be headed to world championships here. And
one won't.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, one may be.
Yeah, later on. The Russians always
for sure.
parachute pa-
yeah,
in
for
on
sure.
Putin's jet.
For
whatever.
Sure.
So, yeah, that one's been, I don't know. I've been interested to sort of follow it because I didn't expect Carolina to push it this far. I think I took Washington in four. But I haven't been interested enough to watch it. Now, tonight, game seven, maybe I'll throw it on. I might still be a little too heartbroken to watch quite this soon. But
yeah,
we'll see. I really got into Calgary, Colorado. I said to you before we went on air, we were talking about our picks. I swore up and down that I picked Calgary, but it was written in my notes as... Or picked Colorado, sorry. But it's written in my notes and on the post on Instagram that I took Calgary in seven. So there it is. But I expected it to be a tight, long series. I expected Colorado to push them hard, and they certainly did do that. And MacKinnon was unleashed, right? I think when you get on the national stage a little bit like that, especially when you play, for us, a Canadian team, right? You get that extra attention for a couple of weeks. Man, he fucking torched them almost single-handedly.
Yeah. To me, I was completely, all the fine crafted thoughts that went into that and just laid bare, right? And you go, oh, wait, all that stuff that should matter doesn't really matter. And it didn't seem to. Yeah, I had Calgary, I think, in five.
Yeah.
And then they won game one and you're like, yep, sure. And then came, as they say, the gentleman's sweep. Excuse me. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it just looked like with a healthy Rantanen, right, and Landeskog, that line back.
Well, how about Cale Makar coming in as
okay,
a rookie
but yeah,
of
I was,
university?
I was totally surprised that, you know, again, listening to NBC's Pierre Maguire, and he hypes all NCAA guys yes. and saying, you know, impact. And so I take it all with a grain of salt now mm-hmm. when he says, yeah, Cale Makar, who we saw playing for Canada at the World Juniors 2 years ago.
That's right, yeah.
When he's saying, yeah, he will be an impact player, I'm like, wonk, wonk, sure, all right, I get it. Yeah, right, he will. Yeah, guy steps in, goal in his first game.
Outscores Johnny Gaudreau the rest of the way.
Yeah, and you're like, oh.
Finishes with more points.
All right, well, there you are.
Yeah.
So really, they're going to add, courtesy of Ottawa, they're going to add Jack Hughes probably. They got Makar coming. They just...
Well, we know it's not going to be Hughes now, but they fell down right in the draft and...
Oh, sorry, you're right, down
yeah.
to four.
Yeah, so. Then who cares?
Yeah.
But yeah, another sweet piece, right, coming their way, or
yeah,
they could
yeah.
deal that in
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
so
yeah, for
they're
sure.
They're building something pretty cool out there, and yeah. that top line is, you know, has just been unstoppable.
Well, and with all the things that have been going on, too, yeah, we never got to that on the show, right? We were going to talk about it with Mendez, and so it sort of has escaped my mind, right, that Colorado tumbled, right, in sort of, it's like it never happened.
Yeah.
Oof, thank God.
Mike Smith, I think we both said, was the only thing that Calgary needed to worry about, and he was fine. Everybody else went to sleep, right? Like,
yeah, as you said, goaltending between him and Riddick were going to be the question mark, right? Solid D, you know, balanced scoring and a great top line. And you go, well, you know, looks good. And you go, yeah, in the last two games, Smith with facing 108 shots, mm-hmm. you know, well, you can't ask for much more than that from him. So,
no. It just turned out that it was a bad matchup for them, or I'm not sure, but Johnny Gaudreau didn't do shit. Monahan wasn't very good. Giordano was fine, but didn't still look like Norris Giordano, right? I was surprised that it went the way it did. I knew, like I said, I thought Colorado would push them, but I didn't think they'd beat the shit out of them quite like that. So that was interesting, and Colorado might be the team now as I look for a bandwagon. It might be Colorado. I think they're fun to watch.
See, I don't think they win the next round.
You didn't think they'd win this round.
Yeah, it's true. But I didn't think the team they were playing would win the last round either.
Right.
So suck it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sure.
I don't want to pull my bracket out, so
yeah.
Whatever. But
hey, take a look at this.
Yeah. It's busted.
It's clearly from overuse.
Obviously. Winnipeg St. Louis was dull, but fascinating in terms of the result, right?
We both had that. I picked that. I didn't see Winnipeg.
Just stumble down the stretch, didn't get it going, right? And there was a great clip going around of Line A arguing with Patrick Maroon. Is it Maroon? Yeah, it's Maroon.
Yep.
And calling him, like, Line A's calling him a loser and says, go back to the minors. And Maroon looks and goes, I can't have the same number of points as you.
Yeah. Well, and go back to the minors. You're like, what? Maroon
He's
2 years removed from a 30-goal season.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of weak, but Maroon gave it back to him pretty good. If I'm so terrible,
yeah,
you get to stay.
Yeah, exactly. Why do you and your whatever 42 points get to go?
Yeah. I think Winnipeg, that's obviously a huge disappointment for them because they've got Connors, they've got Line A and Trouba to sign and not enough room really without some heavy moves to do all of them. And then I assume they're just going to let Kevin Hayes walk.
Well, because if you look, that's back-to-back years of the bringing Stastny in the year before,
yeah.
Right? You make that move and so assets go out.
Yep.
And then you bring in Hayes this year, assets go out, and you go, how many times can you do that before right. you start to...
Well, Leaf fans were getting pissed that we kept doing it with fourth-line centers, right? It was Plekanec, and then it was Boyle before that. And you're like, you can't keep giving up second-round picks for fourth-line centers. And well, they're paying more than that for second-line centers in Winnipeg, right? You can't sustain that. You have to find an answer in-house or
right.
or keep that guy or something.
For you not to make it out of the first mm-hmm. round. Mm. And again, there's so much, and really, for us to heap a bunch of scorn on Winnipeg,
no.
It's you look around, and as you say, Western Conference, winning Calgary, 5, they're out. Tampa, President's Trophy, you know.
Nashville.
And as much as Tampa and their hockey crowd could be set aflame, this is it, right? This is about as close as you're going to get,
yeah.
right? All the same things that they're talking about in Toronto, mm-hmm. right? With, well, do you fire Cooper? And you're like, you just gave the guy an extension before right. the playoffs start. You're not getting rid of Cooper.
Right.
Right? It comes down to...
There's some talk there. I don't know if you'd heard this before. I heard it, I think it was Friedman that reported it. Maybe it wasn't. But that he and Stamkos do not get along, that there's definite friction there. Now, I'd heard that Cooper wasn't necessarily popular with his team, but sometimes good coaches aren't. But that specifically your top guy, formerly your top guy, that, you know, they don't get along.
See, and we haven't really touched on that at all either, right? The last time we were in, Ian was in, and so we sort of touched on a bunch of things. And, man, Stamkos again with another...
Ho-hum.
Yeah, honestly, subpar playoffs, right? From a guy you expect more from.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I think he's now got that mantle that Ovi used to have.
Yes, that's a good comparison, right? The Tampa Washington.
Yeah, you go. That's a guy who now you know what I say that there was some playoff series early on, and I think back to the first year Ovi and Sid went head to head. That Pittsburgh Washington series went 7, and in the final game it was 7-6 or 6-5, and they both had...
Hat tricks.
Yeah, and in the series, they both had 11 and 12 points, and so you're like, okay, it's not the same.
He's doing his part here.
Right, exactly. And so Ovi was always sort of surrounded by, you know...
Mediocrity.
Didn't have the right cast members, whereas Stamkos is...
It's a good cast.
Yeah, and you look at him last year, the 2018 Cup playoffs, right? He just, those last two games, no show. Right,
well, they got shut out in both Game 6 and Game 7.
There you go.
That's a no-show.
That's a no-show. And so, to me, it's not Cooper's not the problem there.
I agree with that. I think he would be highly sought after.
Right, I think a not very healthy Victor Hedman. Clearly, he's mm-hmm. not 100%. That's not Norris Trophy Victor Hedman.
No, that's right.
Right, and so There's a bunch of issues, but...
Well, they have $6 million in cap space with Braden Point to sign. He's probably going to want a little more than six. And they've got other pieces that need to move or get fixed. I think Sergachev is ready for, you know, his second deal.
Yep.
They've got other pieces that they need to... They're in a real cap thing, too, where they're going to want to try and get out from underneath Callahan. They're going to want to probably get out from... The defenseman who came from the Rangers.
McDonough?
No, he's the good one. They have another shittier one.
Strawman?
No, but they do have a lot of old...
Yeah, for sure.
Dan Girardi.
Oh, Dan Girardi. See, honestly, Dan Girardi and Mark Giordano.
Yeah.
But one of the two of you have to leave the league.
Well, I think it should be Dan Girardi. We got one nominated for a Norris.
Well, this is it.
One getting honestly, Nelsie scratched.
One,
so.
One nominated for a Norris at 39 or whatever he is, yeah. 37, and you're like, holy Christ, man.
To me, there's a lot of people, you know, when this first happened, people were talking, what do you do if you're Tampa? My thing was, you do absolutely nothing.
For
this
sure you do nothing.
This is a great core. You just keep running it out there, kind of like Washington did, right? You have to, but people will remind you that this core has now been around for a while, right? That they didn't show up, as you mentioned, last year in the conference final, the year before that, ravaged by injury. And,
yep.
You know, that's kind of a whatever, but they've had a run to the cup back in 2015. Didn't really get that, you know, obviously had a good playoff, but were, I think, fairly soundly beaten. It was like five games or something against Chicago. So this core has been around for a while, but I still think if I could get Braden Point done without having to move out more than, you know, it's going to have to be like an Andre Palat and pieces like that.
Yep.
I think I would probably run it out there again.
Well, and so it's guys like Palat, Tyler Johnson.
Yes.
Those are the kinds of guys in the middle where you go, what do we do there, right? In terms of they're losing the bottom end of their decor anyways, right? Those guys are
Braden Coburn.
They have UFAs there, and those guys are leaving. So you are looking at sort of bringing in young or cheaper talent, right? So no, to me, they're going to be forced to make some changes. Those are the only changes you need to make, right? Yeah. What those really look like, yeah, that underbelly of depth, like we just talked about. Johnson, Palat, whoever else that may be along the way. As you start to work in, they got a pretty good minor system going there in Syracuse, right?
Yep.
So,
I wouldn't be doing much.
No, and we talked about it. I remember saying, you know, that, you know, Columbus with a good goalie, and you go, but then you look at the other end, you go Vasilevsky, and you go, well, too bad. There's that guy with, all, you know, what, 45 or 50 wins, whatever he had.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Bobrovsky was better.
He was.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where you go, yeah, they got to stay the course. To me, there's no choice.
Nashville limped out. They got bishoped hard.
Oh, the bishop.
Promoted to the Pope. Ben Pope going into the next round.
Well, and I think we talked about it. I still didn't see Dallas beating them.
Right.
But if you look at...
No one did.
If you look at Bishop's stats through the regular season, he had... some gaudy individual stats,
yes,
right?
He did.
If he can stay healthy.
Which has been a question before.
For sure it is. And the way
watch him in the cup final just keeled over in his crease whenever the puck wasn't in his end.
And then the way Montgomery's got them playing, clearly, right? Things are going well there. But it's more a question to me over Tampa, what Nashville does. Because that top line of Radulov, Ben, and Seguin, what do they call it? The Legion of Boom?
Yes. Boo.
Yeah, for sure. Totally crushed.
Forsberg, Johansson.
Johansson. I was like, what the hell is that guy?
And Arvidsson.
Yeah, and Arvidsson.
Yeah.
Who had great regular seasons, right? But I think they got outscored 16-2 or 16-3, whatever it was, the top lines head to head.
Well, I'm seeing Subban has taken some heat for his play and, you know, whether or not he's worn out his welcome there.
Somebody said, you're going to start hearing reports saying, yeah. His time has come. That's it. We're walking away from that.
Right.
Wow.
Last one. Fucking crazy in, I guess if you want, you can talk about the Islanders and the Penguins, but crazy finish to Vegas and San Jose. Well,
Let's just talk about the pimple that is the Islanders and the Penguins, just briefly.
Okay.
The Penguins look like a wet fart.
Yeah.
Right? They had some serious shark qualities to them. And for whatever energy the Islanders drew from that old barn in Uniondale, They're not even playing there the next round.
Now, yeah.
And I think you're going to see all the mojo go with it. That's all I got to say about that. But to me, that was I love watching the first couple games, the energy, right?
Oh, it was like I watched almost all of game one and game two of that series. It was super entertaining. Like tons of chances at both ends. Crowd was going, like you said, but I just don't care. Right.
Now, I love the Robin Leonard story.
Yeah, for sure.
To me, it's an interesting story, and he's
battled some demons and
for sure. And he's
rode to redemption.
He seems to be on the upside. And that's a guy who just took a 1 year, $1.5 million contract.
Yeah. Somebody took a flyer on him. And
you got to think somebody's going to pay that man his money.
He is unrestricted, isn't he?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He left Buffalo. No, I know, but they're like, hey, see you later, man.
Let him go.
Yeah, and then there you go. Oh, he's part of a Jennings winning tandem.
Him and Kreis, who was part of the worst tandem in the league a year earlier.
Yeah. Well, and clearly you just got to get rid of Tavares.
Guess so. There could be nothing more Leaf than us taking their top player and then them going far into the playoffs and maybe winning something. Yeah.
Fuck, take that, pajama boy.
Guess so, man. San Jose, Vegas, man. Vegas is now officially in the NHL, where you learn that hockey is just unpredictable. Like, holy fuck.
Yeah, and you deserve it, Vegas fans.
Yeah, you had a sweet ride for too long.
Come on, you don't deserve any of this good fortune. You deserve to feel the pain that comes from unrealized expectations.
But I don't think I've ever seen a team score three times on a power play before. I'm sure it's happened, or we'd be hearing about records.
How about
or
four
whatever.
Times? You ever seen somebody score four times?
Well, if I haven't seen three.
They scored four times last night.
I think the fourth one was after the power play.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Four in 4 minutes and 10 seconds of a five-minute power play.
Yeah. And LeBanc, a goal and three assists.
Who the hell is Kevin LeBanc? Who does he think he is? Honestly, but you watched that game last night. Well, and he was lights out in the first period, and they didn't get any points.
Yeah.
But he was everywhere.
Right.
And you're like, Kevin LeBanc, like, I know he's been around for a couple of years, but you go,
huh? It's an East Coast bias, man.
What? Yeah, all right.
I can't stay up for Kevin LeBanc. Well,
LeBanc isn't bringing eyeballs to the television. Come on, man. Well, although last night, 4 points, as you say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that to me is a... Martin Jones? When will the real Martin Jones stand up? Who is the real Martin Jones? Is he the sub-900 save percentage guy from the regular season? Or is he the guy that played game 6 and 7? Although he had a couple of odorous goals there.
Yeah, he was not perfect still.
Well, and again, when they went down 3-0, this is San Jose went down 3-0, that game was done. They were done.
During the Leaf game earlier. When it was 2-0 Boston and then 3-1 Boston, I had been texting with someone and I just, you know, in game sevens, only Toronto gives it up like that. You're not going to see a crazy comeback here. This is done. 3 hours later, oh, look, teams can do it. Teams can have miracles.
And this is what I'm saying is I think if anybody, you look around and as shitty as that San Jose and as much of a hand as the refs had in it.
Yeah.
God damn it. That's like, honestly, that I think should wipe away a bit of the stain of the Leafs losing in 2013. That 4-1
that collapse
or whatever that was.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
To me, this is worse. You 10 minutes left and you're up 3-0 and then somebody gives you a bogus 5 minute and then a team goes and scores four goals on it.
Kill a penalty, making the Leaf power play or penalty kill look.
And I'm trying to think, Belmar. Yeah, he's
Pierre-Edward Belmar.
Belmar, he's a penalty killer. He's not there. Eakin is one of their penalty killers. That does not help.
No.
When you're missing two of your better penalty killers.
No, it's true.
And, you know, one for what are your thoughts on that play? Because that bulldog play off the draw happens on virtually every draw in the NHL.
Yeah, it was a weird time to... I thought it was probably a minor.
For sure it's a minor.
Yeah.
And again, it's one of those things where you go, all right, because Stastny kind of is behind him and he goes in awkwardly and goes down and hits his head, you're like, oof.
Yep.
But it's like the refs totally ruled on.
They just fucking make it up as they go.
Well, they didn't see it. And they're like, oh my God, look at him. He's on the ground. I saw the cross check and he's bleeding from the head.
Yeah.
Five and a game. You're out. And you're like, yeah, but look at it.
Yeah. And if I'm a Vegas fan, which, I'm not.
No, clearly.
But you tied it up, right? Like, after that happens, yes, it cost you four fucking goals, but some of that's on you. But that you came back and tied it up and got it to overtime after that, right? So,
yeah,
I don't want to say it wipes out what happened because it didn't.
But that game was done.
Yeah. And done. William Karlsson, I think it was afterwards saying that's a joke. And
Marchessault,
that's right. He's going off on the refs. And you're like, not just this game was over, you were also up 3-1 in the series.
Yep.
Like, he's saying, that's a series-changing play. Well, yeah, only because you blew the last couple chances you had to round this off, right, or finish this off. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm not willing to totally pin it on the refs. So
there's people saying, well, the reality is he did cross-check him,
mm-hmm.
and he did bleed from his head. And you're like, you don't do that. It doesn't happen if you don't cross-check him. And you're like, okay, but you can't have both.
Right.
Right, you rule on the actual thing, or you rule on the outcome. Because then if that's the case, you go back to Foglin on Oshie and say, well, he's out for the series. He's out for the season.
I can't remember if it was game one or two, probably two, because it was crazy, in the Toronto-Boston series, where I think it was Kapanen high-sticked DeBrusque in the face and knocked a tooth out.
Yeah.
And the refs are looking at him, and he's not bleeding. So it's just 2 minutes. But you knocked his fucking tooth out.
Give me 1 sec. Can you give me 5 seconds? Yeah. It's coming, man.
Like, to me, it's so weird that that's so arbitrary. You knocked part of his face off. That's not a penalty. But if you just had a little nick and bled a bit, that it is. You're like, come on. Like,
yeah.
It's so arbitrary, man.
Yeah, so I am, and you hear in a lot of places where people are saying, yeah, that's time of the game call, too, where they're like, 3-0. The game is done.
Stop it from getting out of control if you throw that guy out.
We'll throw Eakin out, and Vegas has still got this, and you go, holy Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you were saying, yeah, I've seen a couple with two on a five, 2 goals on a 5.
Yeah.
But I've never seen 3, and I've certainly never seen
just
4.
Just lighten them off.
Well, and so, watching it, right, and so they need to get it quick, right? How many times do you see a 5 minute or a 2 minute 5-on-3, right? Where teams dick around a bit.
Yeah.
They want to cue the puck into the net, right? No, San Jose got right to it. The first goal was six seconds in. You're like, ching, ching, there's one.
Well, and that's, I don't remember who scored the first one.
Couture.
But turns to the bench and says, and puts the finger up and goes, that's one. And then they all followed suit after. I think it might have been Hurdle who got the second one.
Yeah.
He turns to the bench, that's two. And they just kept going.
Hop on the goal train. Chugga, 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 chugga. Yeah, I get it, man.
So they were feeling it at that point, right?
Well, and the building is going upside down.
Yep.
Right? And so it's loud in there. Yeah. I was surprised to see it's only about 17.5 to fill that arena.
Well, why don't we talk a little bit about Toronto-Boston? For me, it's a little bit of sober second thought. Like I said, if you want to hear much less sober and much less thought, you can go back to Maddie and I from last night. That's TCS 318.
Okay, then let me...
Yeah, by all means.
I haven't heard that show.
Nope, take it.
I certainly watched the game. I watched the entire series. I was thrilled.
Uh-huh.
I laughed. I cried. It became a part of me. It was, Jack Edwards and I leaning back, laughing, good times.
Giving each other a tug.
Yeah. Double Dutch rudder. who is more to blame? I'm going to ask you, as Leaf guy, who is more to blame for the Leaf series loss? Is it A, Frederik Andersen, B, Mike Babcock, or K, Nazem Kadri? Who, in your opinion?
Probably Kadri. I don't like a lot of what Babcock did in terms of his lineup, in terms of his deployment. But he's got his hands cuffed by what Kadri did. You no longer can go back to putting Willie with Matthews, which absolutely would have happened at some point in the series because he's stuck playing third line center, right? So
Do you like him as a center? No way. Nylander, I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't. Do I like him centering those two?
Yeah, no. I think he's. And what do I know? But I see Nylander as a second line winger. I do too.
I think more than. But I didn't have a huge problem with. He only gave up one even strength goal in the entire series, right? Or after he moved to center, and you know he. I don't have much of a problem with his performance. Babcock made me crazy in Game 7, and I said to you in an email earlier in the day, that if we're going down, I'd better see Matthews and Tavares at 22, 23, 24 minutes.
23 minutes, what you said.
Matthews gets 18:30.
Hey, and what are you doing? Hey, they're down 3-1 in the third, and he'd only seen four shifts.
Yeah. Well, in the third period, Connor Brown played more minutes than Austin Matthews. What are you doing?
What? Well, and you know what? I was looking at the. I was looking
There's
at the.
There's no justification.
I was looking at the total time on ice later. Yeah. Post game, I was surprised to see that Moore, Gauthier, and Innes had all played. Like Moore was down around 7 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
But they must have been short shifts because honestly, between Gauthier and Innes,
it felt like they were honestly out there all the time.
For sure, it did.
Yeah.
Especially the GOAT. Like
I was surprised at how low GOAT's minutes were too, based on what I. But it's more when. Like I can remember specifically in the first period coming back from commercial, and they start the fourth line. I don't care if it drags Bergeron back off the bench with you.
Yeah.
Get one of those other lines out there. This is go time, right? And so I get it if at some point you got to throw that fourth line in to give people a break. Not coming off a TV timeout.
Hey man, Game 7, you're down. You need to be running, you know, Gauthier. You're on the end of the bench, and until further notice, and then you run Tavares and Matthews through that spot.
Yeah, no,
because there is no tomorrow.
That's right. To me, you go Tavares line, Matthews line, Nylander line, Goat line with Goat. The next time through, Matthews is playing in Goat spot, right? So Tavares, Matthews, Nylander, Matthews with Goat's wingers, right? And you. Next time through, maybe Tavares is in that spot. But you keep going to those fucking horses, not the GOAT. He's just never going to score.
Right. 6 in 144 games where he's got. Probably not going to happen in Game 7 against Boston.
No.
Probably not.
Although their fourth line centers and wingers were getting it done. So.
Yes. The Scandinavian invasion, as Jack Edwards was calling it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I honestly don't have the same problem with Freddie's Game 7 that so many other people do. The first goal, I don't know how that gets in. Do I want Freddie to have that? Obviously. But that one to me is more fluky than anything else. The second one is entirely on where Gardner coughed it up. Right. And the commentators thought, well, Freddie didn't have time to get it. Of course he didn't.
Yeah.
Like, that's not on him.
Okay, but how many times did you see,
but on the third one, I'd like him to stop that one. It's Achari coming in. Or not Achari, it's Corrali coming in. He's showing a lot of net, right? And that one to me was the backbreaker.
You
right?
Hey boys.
And that took it down. But Freddie was great games 1-6. Even when we got crushed in game 2.
Yeah.
He was great.
See, I think probably all three of the first goals were slightly scented, right? The only three goals he gave up.
Yeah.
I think you'd like to see.
I don't remember if he was back in the net for the fifth one or not.
No, it was an empty netter with a second to go.
Yeah.
But if you look at the second one that you're talking about, where Gardner coughed it up behind and it was circled around out into in the first period alone, at least three times where the puck,
the one that pops up in the air and Freddie's got to reach out and grab it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Bruins able to come out from behind the net.
Yeah.
Down into the low circle, untouched.
Yeah.
And I thought, you're thinking, how can that happen? What's going on there? Fuck. Okay, but I knowing what's happening, right? And
yeah.
And honestly, you wonder if Freddie's not to blame for that second goal, the fact that he didn't freeze that puck, right? That's the second goal, right? Where he's got it, and then he throws it to whether it was Dermott.
Yes.
And he had a Bruin right on him. And I remember the time going,
what are you doing?
Why are you not freezing that? Like,
yep. Yeah.
And then it never got out of the zone.
No.
And then boof, in the net. And you're like, oh, see?
Was it the first one where, the first one is the terrible one from Nordstrom where it squeaks through. But that all starts with Dermott trying to go with that long bomb pass that we do all the time. And so.
Had some success early in the season with it.
Yeah.
I mean, early in the series.
Yeah. Johnsson had blown the zone. Matthews is getting ready to follow him out. and he makes that. And I'm pissed at him. I'm looking at it going, holy fuck. But that's the system, right? That's partly on Babcock, right? That's what he's supposed to do. And that now he's supposed to do it better. Right. But
if you look game one, I think Kadri to Nylander, right? Yep. That was
when Marner got away a couple times.
That was a pretty sweet and torched Boston with that. Right.
They had taken that away. Like they took it away.
And that's what I'm saying is at that point you go, did Cassidy now outcoach?
Yes.
And is that Babcock? You talk about all the things that people, you know, have a huge distaste for, his lack of a willingness to go away from the players that he loves.
Paddy Marleau was awful in this series.
Okay, well, did you see the post game?
No.
Right. So
I quickly vacated this.
He's scrummy. Well, he's up on the podium. Right. And somebody said,
oh, Babcock, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. Said, Steve Simmons, noted douchebag, asked a good question.
Said, can you explain to us why Patrick Marleau was on the ice, you know, whatever, in the last 5 minutes or whatever, when you're...
Season's
on the line and you got Patrick Marleau out there. And that was the end of it. That was the last question that he answered.
Got up and left.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that whole press conference sucked. He's throwing people under the bus. He's blaming Freddie. He's
blaming Dubas.
For sure he is. So all of that was so passive-aggressively, not my fault. Well, we'll never know.
Gardner at 60% is better than anything else I had.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well, I think your GM went and brought you in, Muzzin.
And the roasting that Dubas is taking today is fucking insane, too. And one of the big ones is, how did you not go get us another defenseman at the deadline? He did it a month earlier.
How many more do you want him to get?
He gave up a first-round pick to do it, and he brought in a guy who I thought was pretty good in this series. Like, he was important for us, especially with Jake at 60%.
Well, and there was times where it seemed like Muzzin and Zaitsev had the goat cam on them. Yeah. But at other times, I thought they were the best duo you had.
Yes, I thought so, too. And it was important because it freed Riley up a little bit and we didn't have to see another seven games of fucking Ron Hainsey, who was fine in this series, but wouldn't have been facing the Bergeron line.
I think almost 22 minutes last night, Hainsey.
Ron Hainsey, for the amount of shit he took last year in the playoffs and the early part of this season, was actually pretty much fine the second half and through this series. But again, in a different matchup, right? So
I'd like to take credit for it, but I read it someplace where they were saying if game sevens were golf, Jake Gardner would take the green jacket with a minus 10.
I think I read today he's now a career minus 8 in game sevens, which is tied for an NHL record.
Okay, because I'm talking about he was a minus 2 in game 7 of 2013, minus 5 last year, minus 3 last night. And you go, that's a pretty fat minus 10 right there, just in those three.
Right. Well, and you asked about Kadri, who do I blame most? In the last 2 years, we've played 14 games against Boston in the playoffs. He has made himself available for 6 of them for us.
Yeah, well, you're hearing a lot of things today, right? Where people are saying you can't ever have Kadri back, and you're going, yeah, you can.
Yeah,
he's making foreign change.
Yeah, and that shit has to stop. It has to go away. But
can it?
Maybe that's part of It wasn't the reason that he signed for this number, but maybe that's part of the trade-off now. You have to accept that sometimes he loses his fucking mind.
And he may not be there at all.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
That's part of it, though, right? Like, it's you can't just say he's out, but they're clearly pissed at him. They didn't bring him to Boston for games 5 or 7. He hasn't been around the team. He tweeted, well, on the day that they put out the Norris nominees, and Riley wasn't one of them, that the NHL had blown it and he deserved at least a nomination. You're like, hey, you need to shut the fuck up, right? Like, I appreciate what you're doing.
Go away.
You need to be invisible and just pray that we get through this and you'll get back in, right? But you need to stop tweeting, right? You need to fucking...
Yeah, there's not much understanding there as to what's happened.
I don't know what's going to happen with Babcock. Sorry.
Wait, before you go away from him, I would have said to you... had we been on air earlier in the series, that I thought at least through 4 games or into game 5, whatever, that it was better, maybe through game 5, it was better without him, right? Just in the fact that he seemed to be, if Boston was going to have a chance early, A, they needed to forecheck, get down low on Toronto, but they needed to be a little muddier, the series.
Mm-hmm.
And Kadri was the one who
fires that up,
who was willing to
yeah
participate in that and help ratchet the temperature up. And
you're
so,
watching Tavares just skate away from it, right? Marchand didn't get to do any of his usual
And so to me, when they remove Kadri, they go, well, now we have no one else
I've heard that is
going to do
theory
that.
Theory too, that, you know, but what is the trade-off, right? How much did you give away in terms of some
Well,
of
he's
other...
a hell of a hockey player.
Yeah.
If he's now, as we've talked about before, his season totals this year.
Right.
Right. Does he not have a place? Is that part of it? Perhaps, right?
Yep. Yeah.
There's only so much gravy to run around, right? When you have Tavares and Matthews.
Two big dogs
to feed. Up front, right? You're like, well, I guess this is what I get.
Yeah.
And so I wonder. It'll be super interesting. And so I'm not sure early in the season series, at least in the first four or five games, that it wasn't better without him.
Yeah.
Clearly, at the end, as you say, that Nylander and the ability to utilize him in a different way probably trumps the other
But
bit.
I see your point and, you know, what he does to the atmosphere of a game, right? Or, you know, maybe we were better off without that, but I think two things, and I want you to comment on them. The first one being about Kadri, I think there's a chance he gets traded this summer, but it's not because, oh my God, they're so sick of him and he's done this twice and whatever. I just think if they're going to try and do something big to bring in a defenseman, that contract might be valuable. But we've seen now life without him, right? And it takes away some of your depth. So I think there's a chance, but I don't think it's solely because you can't send him back into that dressing room or anything like that.
Right. But short of another, short of a free agent, you're talking about trading for a defenseman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because he would be a valuable commodity.
Yeah. Just because of that contract, right? Like, and I don't know who they might be interested in giving up, but you look at Nashville. Are they unhappy with what happened with them? They have a surplus of defensemen. I'm not saying we're getting Roman Josi for Nazem Kadri or something
that. You want Kyle Turris?
Nope. But maybe they need an upgrade in the middle, right? Or some help there. I just as a team that kind of, they're going to be unhappy with how their season went as well.
Yeah, well, they had Johansson and Turris is what they started. They thought they were going to be good in that 1-2 slot.
Didn't turn out.
Well, Turris, they was talking they were going to scratch him.
Yeah.
At points, right?
Rocco Grimaldi's carrying the Nashville offense.
And they got him for five more at six.
Yeah. I don't need that.
No, you don't at all, right? So, but it is, they are going to have to, you are looking at, and David Poile did a fantastic job. Now, I'm not sure how many of those guys in their top four, you are looking at one of the guys in their top four, have no movement clauses.
Right.
Right? And you do have that whole, we've taken less money.
But they've got some young ones, as even like Dante Fabbro, who I think they're probably too high on to, like they seem to always have young defensemen too, probably outside that top four, because we also aren't going to have the cap space for $9 million PK
PK money, but no. To me, the other guys have all signed for very
Ryan
reasonable
Ellis.
Money.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm talking with Ekblom.
Ekholm.
I was going to call him Ekblom. yet those guys are all on longer-term deals at reasonable money because, again, it's a no-tax state, right?
Yep.
And so people willing to say,
typically, David Poile doesn't give out no trades.
Okay.
So I wonder. Now, he has had to a time or two. I think Pekka Rinne got one. I think because he tells them, you know, this is the money that we need you to sign for here, and it is a no-tax state. And the players have started coming back and saying, if I'm going to take that discount, I need to know you're not shipping me to a heavy tax state, right, to Ontario
Quebec. I am so down with that if I was a player.
Yeah.
I'll say, I'll take your lesser money here. The great environment, you know, apparently it's a nice place to live.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be shipped out.
Right.
So. But yeah, that to me makes sense.
Yeah, maybe there's something there that you'd...
But you need then something in that three hole.
You don't think the GOAT's going to move up and...
Six goals, 144 NHL games.
Holy fuck. Do you think, just from an outsider's perspective, do you think there's any chance they'll fire Babcock?
No.
Yeah.
Not a chance. I think things get really interesting next year.
That's the thing. Almost like the Raptors this year, the next 355 days... do not matter.
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
what are you doing next?
The Raptors, year? they already went all in on the Kawhi Leonard thing. Like, to me, if they lose to Philadelphia in this next round, and Kawhi leaves and goes to LA,
that was a failure.
You're fucked.
Yep.
Right. Whereas
I meant was the regular season was irrelevant for the Leafs
for sure. Yeah. That I will be so interested in seeing, yeah, there's no chance anything happens. He's got 4 years left, which I know money is not an issue, right?
Yeah.
You strike that $16 million check or whatever it is, and it's gone. It's still too early.
I think so, too. But what is interesting to me, and I want to get your take on this before we move off of it, this team, as it moves forward now, because Dubas has only been doing this for a year, is going to get more Dubas-y, for lack of a better, and less Babcock-y. So is it more likely that Babcock is going to become more successful and do the things that you want him to do, right? Like, it seems like it's going to get further and further away from what he likes to do.
Yeah. Well, and there is that whole Sheldon Keefe thing, right?
Yeah.
Where you go, hey, that's my Calder Cup trophy winning coach right there.
Yeah, and my right? Sault Ste. Marie guy.
Yeah, all these things. And you sort of go,
you got to have a huge set on you to say it's time to get over the hump and we're going with an inexperienced coach. But there are people out there now pointing out before LA won their cup, they got rid of their rebuild coach and brought in Daryl Sutter. Chicago got rid of their rebuild coach and went to Joel Quenneville. So even Pittsburgh changed coaches twice before both of their.
Is Babs your rebuild coach?
Yeah. I don't know, right? Maybe he's also your winning coach. I don't, because you would, in theory, go and get a Babcock, right, when you're ready to contend.
See, this is it. Then you should have went with Guy Boucher.
Yeah, apparently.
Or Dan Bylsma or whatever it was.
Because no one would think twice if you then had to turn and punt him to the fucking curve today. It's not Mike Babcock.
Because already, I don't know how many coaches Buffalo's gone through since Babcock got hired. Fuck. Right? And so you sort of go, like I said, Bylsma's gone through there, and you've had Housley's gone through there, and you sort of go, all right, Babcock could have went and sucked there for big fat cash, and then now he could be rolling in Toronto as the absolute
he hasn't won a
Scotty
playoff
Bowman
series
2.0.
Since like 2011 or something now.
And 3-7 in game sevens.
Yeah. Now someone, a Red Wings fan.
Lost 4 in a row.
A Red Wings fan tweeted into us last night and pointed out, he said, I totally feel your frustration. I remember a game in, I think he said, the 2011 playoffs versus San Jose. We're down by one goal, and Patrick Eaves got only one less shift than Pavel Datsyuk. He said, this is what he does. He will ride his fourth line guys
Patrick
just
Eaves,
as much.
Former Ottawa Senator.
And would go on to become a 30-goal guy or whatever, but at that time was fourth line.
Yeah, that was in Phoenix or San Jose.
Anaheim, I think.
Anaheim. Yeah. I was working my way across.
Sure.
Working my way across the southern United States.
But he just said, you know, maybe that's just the way he's going to be, right? Datsyuk gets only one more shift than Patrick Eaves, and he said he was screaming at his television while you're down by one. Stop putting that out there, right?
Like, stop. You're killing stop you. With the hammering. Yeah. All right. Well, I think, you know, and he went to Denmark last year to sit down with his boy Freddie, right, to talk about mental toughness. And then he's sitting up on the podium last night, and he's saying, no, yeah, the result is it's an unfair, right? The 3-1, it wasn't indicative of the play, but they kept throwing pucks at the net, and they kept going in.
Oh, fuck. And last year was the same thing. He flew to Arizona to talk to Matthews about ice time and stuff. Here we are a year later.
Well, you talk about Stamkos and Cooper.
I just wonder, man. I don't think he's getting fired either, but I don't know that we necessarily have to get all the way to the playoffs and lose again next year. I wonder if it gets off to a rocky start or the vibe isn't right that they just...
Hey, I like Toronto's chances of winning the Atlantic next year. Regular season.
Yeah. Maybe.
To me, I think you're going to see a Tampa team that's going to, regular season-wise, come back to the pack. But if you look at this window that's closed, and obviously Toronto has, with the talent they have and the age they have and the contract situation, that's their window was still open, and there's still all kinds of things. But this year, when all the favorites are dropping out, you know Tampa is not gonna cave in the first round next year.
Right.
I think that is a problem when they look around and go, and if you have Bobrovsky and Panarin both show up in
with
Florida
Joel
with
Quenneville.
Joel Quenneville.
Yep.
And the division has just gotten thicker. And hey, we're down here in the bottom in eighth spot. We don't give a fuck. Right? Good luck to you, my friend, who are rebuilding right at this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or contending at this time. Yeah, it's tough for Toronto. And I think that is going to become more than salary cap. and all those other things. It's the division.
It's getting more
competitive. For sure. Fiercer and
Montreal looks like they're on the way
up.
I don't think they're great, but I think they're better than we thought they'd be.
Well, and I think
a couple of good years of Price.
I don't think they're as good as they think they are.
They never are.
Right. I think,
to be.
I think that if you look at Price, Price had a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
Right. And I think he continues to mask a lot of their ugly warts.
Sure.
Right. And so, you know, they're now saddled with Drouin, right? That guy, what are you going to do with that guy? He has shown that he is what he is.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm totally good with that. And yeah. We don't care about Montreal. So we don't want to spend any more time talking about them. But yeah, I think if you look at the top end of the division, now I'm not sure how much more you had on this, but I think, and I was surprised, that the Bruins didn't. Either they weren't able to, or they just don't have the horses to play that down low game as much as they used to.
Bergeron getting a little older, Krejci getting a little older.
They don't have, and the depth is sort of beyond that first line and a half.
Yeah,
right. DeBrusk did not have the series that he had last year.
I think he's concussed to fucking hell. I think that guy's out on his feet and shouldn't be playing.
Okay, but
he was not the same after. Absorbing a horrendous cross check to the face, as maybe none of us would be.
Yeah, and we'll wait and we'll see. I still like Boston's D, and I think Rask is still a capable goaltender.
Yep.
But up front, we'll wait and we'll see. Pasternak's still young. Marchand's still in that.
Yeah, he's in his window.
But to me, I think those guys were exposed a bit. Right, I think the Leafs.
Oh yeah,
I think the Leafs outplayed them.
I think so too. The last two times that Toronto forced Game 7 and pushed them to the brink, there was so much time where you were just hanging on and getting clearly outplayed, but getting some bounces, getting great goaltending. I think Toronto carried the play for a lot of this series and showed they were right there, and at times outplayed them. Right, this was not a lucky to be there kind of.
So if you look at the whole concept of Babcock saying we've improved, and that's clearly what in his presser yesterday he was hanging everything on, right?
Yep.
We are a better team than we were a year ago.
Well, even Boston was saying that.
Yep. But what do you got to show for it?
Not much, man.
And at the end of it, and you look at it and you go, could Tavares play better?
Sure.
You think so?
Well, it depends what you want from him. He was never going to score as much playing against Bergeron, right? And
but all I'm saying is I think he played.
I was fine with his performance.
Me too.
Yeah,
I'm not disparaging the guy. I'm just saying his season. You can't ask for more from that guy.
No.
You're never going to get more than you did this year.
That's
from
right.
John Tavares.
That's right.
Well, maybe you'll get the same next year. I have no idea. But that is going to be soon after a diminishing return.
Yep. You get a couple of years, and then he's going off maybe not off a cliff, but he'll be David Krejci, right?
Well, he's smart. He's smart too, right? And all I'm saying is, you start to look at a bunch of things. You go top line sawed off, and you go the D didn't play terribly,
right
and you sort of go,
that was all we could
there's a bunch
for.
Of things you go Matthews with his poor playoff performance last year, 5 goals,
he was really good in this,
underutilized perhaps in parts of this, and you go now Marner,
yep,
do we need to find a way to get him away then from playing just D? And again, I'm amazed at how well he defends too, and how much that part of his game has grown.
Killed penalties real well all year. So
I'm looking at as good as they are, and you go, man, and you still didn't win.
Yeah.
And you still didn't win. And your goaltending at times, I think Anderson was the better goalie in the series.
Yep. But not in Game 7.
But you didn't win. And as I'm saying, at the end of it, I know. I know I'm not telling you anything.
Beat me over the head with it.
You didn't.
You lose.
But I'm saying so many things went better for the Leafs than I expected.
And it wasn't enough. Yeah.
You talk about how good Matthews is, or was, or and is, and he's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
He's exceeded my expectations from his draft. And I wasn't willing to believe all the hype, but he's exceeded all my expectations for what that's worth.
Right.
And you go, but man, to me, he looks, sometimes he has that look where he just looks not engaged.
Yeah.
And you'd hope for more from him in a game like that.
Well, can you give him some more opportunity? Like, that's the thing.
In your best opportunity.
Opportunity. We have good players, and we don't play them. And
yep.
Like, because here's the thing. He can say all night long that the fourth line had it going, and so that's why I kept going to them. Stop it. Okay? Because Austin Matthews, even on a night where he doesn't have it going, I'm still putting out there over and over and over ahead of Freddie Gauthier.
For sure, man.
So maybe he'll get it going, right? He has the skill to just need maybe one bounce, and he's put it in the back of the net. I think in this series, even more than this season, I saw a ton of growth from that guy in terms of the way he was defending, getting back deep in the zone to help out the defense, a couple little outlet passes that he made or made available to his defensemen. The two-way stuff, when he came in, there was a ton of talk at 18 how good he was two-way, and it was totally overblown. He was not good in his own end. Yeah. He looked like a rookie center. Right?
But I think because he was so big and so strong for an 18-year-old, yeah, right?
There was part of that, right? But now you're starting to see it, and it's starting to come. And I think a part of it, man, as we start to wrap this up, I think a part of this, as you watch the Leafs sleepwalk through some of this season, is there's a few of them that feel a little too cool for school, right? The team is good enough that if we lose two or three times on a Saturday night to Ottawa, it's not a big deal.
Ottawa winning the season series and the Leafs losing in the first round, that's as good as a Sens fan can hope for in the 2018-2019 season.
Well, enjoy it, man.
I am right now.
Yeah. But all I'm saying, right, is if you kind of keep just, it's not a big deal, it's not a big deal, they need to make it a big deal, like Tampa did this year. Right now, it didn't end up helping Tampa, but they were engaged all the way through. We're winning the President's Trophy. We're winning the division. The Leafs can't have those. Well, you can't have those nights where you're just not engaged, right? You have to find a way to drive that. But, and I thought Tavares rubbed off on them pretty well in that regard because he didn't take nights off like that. We have a couple players like that. Morgan Riley is like that. But some of the young forwards are just kind of, meh. It's Tuesday night against Florida. I don't care.
Yeah, well, and when you're good, right, and you have a lot of moments where you can get by on talent,
yeah,
right, and you go, yeah, all right, as you say, it's a Thursday in February in Carolina, right, we're going to throw the sticks out there and we're going to be close on that alone.
Right.
And so.
Could it cost you home ice or could it have cost you whatever, right?
And we talked about this leading into the playoffs, one of the last shows prior to the start of the playoffs, and we talked about how much stock you put in the whole flipping of the switch.
Right.
Right? And Toronto played way better in seven games.
Especially on defense, right?
Than they did
down
the stretch.
That was unrecognizable in game one, especially. And a couple times, right, where you're going, holy fuck. And was it game five where they completely shut them down? And
so they were able to do it. Columbus was able to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And I talked about, and the word I used was at times they looked soulless. They couldn't have looked more different except for that first period of game one.
Yes.
Beyond that, they looked like a totally different team. And so they were able to do it. Winnipeg, not able to do it. Tampa, obviously not able to match what Columbus was bringing.
Right.
Right. And so it's that whole, and it's no clearer now than it was 2 weeks ago, right, when we had that conversation of flipping the switch.
Yeah. You know,
what is it? What's the deal?
So last thing, I don't care about watching a New York Islanders versus Carolina or Washington. Ooh. I don't care about watching Boston-Columbus. And I don't think I care about watching...
I think Boston-Columbus is going to be good, I think.
St. Louis and Dallas. I'm intrigued by... I think San Jose and Colorado is going to be fun, but there's some dog matchups here for me.
Yeah. Well, so you're saying if it's Washington and the Islanders, you're more interested?
No. I'm saying I don't care. No matter who wins Game 7.
The Barry Trotz Bowl? Not interested in that at all?
Nah, I don't care.
How about what's his name, McClellan, the GM in Washington, at the end of last year saying, yeah, no, Barry Trotz wanted to be paid top coach money, and we don't think he's a top coach.
Now he's almost certainly going to win the Jack Adams.
Now he just left your team, and he's gone.
Taking some scruffs.
who lost their best player, and they decreased goals against by 100. And now they're into the second round.
Pretty easily beat the shit out of your toughest rival coming on route for you.
Your historical nemesis.
Yeah.
Anyways, interesting. When we're leaving here, can you play Hall & Oates, Making My Dreams Come True? Can you play that?
Are you just trying to hurt me? You're making my nightmares.
Yeah, come on, man.
I have a feeling that's not going to be back next year. The team loved it. They picked it. The fans hate it. I love it. All year they did it in the preseason. I'm like, this is kind of fun. I hope they stick with it in the regular season. But I assumed it was just a gag or something in the preseason.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah,
cheese. But
how about Pitbull's "Don't Stop the Party"?
Yeah.
Couldn't be any more different.
All right. Anyways.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear it.
I'm sure you would.
All right.
We'll wind this one down. We'll be back next week with another Tall Can Sports, but probably Sunday. Look for new audio Whiplash. It's been a while since we put one of those down. We're at Tall Can Audio on all the social media stuff, and you can find us there. Until then, we'll wrap this one up, and we'll see you on the next one.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.